This week's episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, is brought to you by Tweetbot. Tweetbot is a full-featured iPhone Twitter client with a lot of personality. Whether it's the meticulously crafted interface, sounds and animation, or features like multiple timelines and smart gestures, there's a lot to love about Tweetbot. Find out more at tapbots.com/tweetbot.
Hey there, Mike.
Hello, sir.
Hey, so we got a new little jingle to start the show.
We did.
Yeah, I thought that with the sponsorships and such going on, that I really, up until now, we haven't really needed a jingle, but now I feel there kind of needs to be some separation between, like, where the sponsorship ends and where the start of the podcast begins. And although we may not have, at least initially, sponsorships for every show, it was just time.
I agree.
We've grown up. So little jingle was done by Neil Pye, and he threw it up on Twitter for us per our request in the last episode of Enough. We said, hey, if anyone wants to do a little jingle, do one. And he did, and it's great. There's actually a longer version he proposed first, and then he was like, but wait, it's Minimal Mac. I better do something short and sweet. And so he basically took the final, like, couple of bars of, what he did, the longer version of it, and gave it to us. So.
Yeah, I'm very happy because it removes the guilt from me for not actually doing anything. Because you would have kept mentioning it, and I would have kept never doing it. So thank you, Neil, for doing it.
No guilt, man. Not truly guilt. Just thinking, hey, maybe we should have a little jingle. So now we do. So thanks a lot, Neil. Really, really appreciate it. And, get in touch with us again if there's anything like you want us to specifically plug for you in repayment for this. Because there you go.
Exactly.
So actually, before we started recording, we should have started recording because we started having a conversation about. So on Minimal Mac, my blog from which this podcast kind of originates, I wrote about a kind of a new trend I'm starting to see with various apps that I am dubbing microsocial. And in this new microsocial trend, many apps are coming out that are based on highly local, highly personal interaction. Mm-hmm. And whereas Twitter and Facebook and these sorts of tools have allowed us to communicate and to maintain relationships and to use technologies to enhance relationships over, more often than not, vast distances, increasingly I'm seeing a number of apps that are bringing that same sort of idea down to a level that is both hyper-local and even hyper-personal. The app I use specifically was a new app that was just released yesterday called Drop. And basically what Drop allows you to do is to leave little, text notes for friends in various locations, and friends and others. I mean, you can leave kind of public drops as well, but I think even more geared and promoted the idea that you would leave little notes for friends and people you actually know here and there, so that when they go to those places, they would get notification that, hey, there's a drop here, check it out. Or there's a drop waiting for you, check it out. And you open it up and boom, there's this little note that someone who had been there before had left for you. And I see all sorts of kind of interesting implications for such a thing. One that I gave was I've left drops for the neighborhood that I'm in. So I've gone around to, as I was testing out this, I was on the beta team, and testing it out. And one of the things I did to test it out was I took a walk around my neighborhood, and at every shop that I like and appreciate and visit and use, I left a little note about, what I like about it and, maybe other tips, like at Cheeky Monkey, I'm like, try the grilled cheese because they do a really good grilled cheese. and they also make homemade potato chips. I mean, they make their own, which you in the UK and call crisps. But they cut them and fry them by hand every morning. And they're wonderful. They're the best potato chips / crisps you probably will ever taste. They're just really well done. So things like that, just little tips and little details or bits of info about the place. So the idea being is that, when my friends come around, if they've got Drop installed, maybe you're visiting from the UK, you're over here in St. Paul, and I'm like, oh, Mike, take a walk around the neighborhood with Drop and check some of these places out. If you have nothing to do, that's something you could do, and get a little tour of the neighborhood without me being there. I don't know. It may be useless to some, but I find the idea quite fascinating.
Gowalla does something like this, doesn't it? Gowalla's like a sort of four square type of yes, I'm here kind of application, a check-in app. And you can leave little badges and pins and such like there, can't you, with that app? But it's probably not fully focused on that, like Drop is. Drop with two Ps, by the way.
Yes, DROPP. And to answer the Gowalla question, sure, if you say so. I actually had not tried Gowalla until yesterday, when someone actually said, "Gowalla does something like this." I don't think it was you, Mike, but someone else said that. No. I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, let me install and check out Gowalla." I actually, used, Gowalla for the first time last night. My wife and I went out to dinner for our anniversary. It's our 5-year
congratulations,
anniversary today.
Sir.
Thank you. And. I checked into where we had dinner with Gowalla, just to kind of, so I could actually have a real world experience with it. So, I didn't have time really because I felt like solo having dinner with my wife and not putting, not messing around with some app. So I really haven't had a chance to play with it. So I'll have to take your word for it. It does something like this, where you can leave notes.
You sort of collect, I haven't played with Gowalla for a while, but I did initially because I sort of got out of the location, here I am apps, the check-in apps, but, you get like, little badges, little items that you can drop in a place. And you can collect items from others. So say, for example, you could go to your local coffee shop and you could drop, like, I remember there was like a couple of oranges, like was one of the little badges, and some other Gowalla user could have dropped a badge of their own, like, I don't know, a Coke bottle, and you can pick that up and then that becomes yours. And then you can drop it off somewhere else. And they do things like at South by Southwest, they would drop in iPad, like the actual Gowalla people would drop in iPad pins. And if you found one, you won an iPad, stuff like that.
Oh, wow, that's kind of cool.
And that, I think that's the way that Gowalla will have and do look to monetize in the way that is different, not just the offer thing. They do competitions and run promotions and stuff that way.
Interesting.
But my issue with some of these apps is where I agree with you, Pat, that it's nice to sort of have a real world interaction with people. Is that I think if you look at our relationship, for example, we're never in the same country, town, continent, even. So we could never have any sort of interaction with use of some of these micro social apps. And I think that is something that's definitely with the invent of maybe Twitter specifically, I think, is broadening people's relationships across hundreds, thousands of miles. So these, and like a lot of my friends that live close to me are not really interested in technology, so could care less really about apps like this.
Hmm.
And then that becomes a problem. And I think that becomes a problem with a lot of these these types of apps, is that you're relying on people outside of San Francisco to use them, which isn't always.
Yeah, I would say that, not just San Francisco. I mean, certainly there are big technology towns in the U.S. You know, ones that pop to mind outside of San Francisco, although San Francisco is one. You know, San Jose is an obvious. You know, that's pretty much where, you know, Silicon Valley is. Seattle is a biggie. You know, not just because of Microsoft and, you know, and Amazon and some of the other things that are kind of based around that general area, but also it just, you know, they've always seemed to be a little bit on the cutting edge of things. New York City, obviously, but Minneapolis is surprisingly a hotbed of technology and innovation, and folks are super into technology. So I guess for me, you know, living in the Twin Cities area, you know, my opinion might be a bit skewed and a bit different simply because, you know, just about everyone I know has an iPhone, and, you know, a good majority of the people I know are into technology and are into cool little apps like this, are the perfect people to, you know, use these sorts of things with.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say that, yeah, here's some, you know, some other thoughts. So, you know, one of the features I'd love to see drop at, it doesn't have this yet, but one of the features I'd love to see it add is the ability to leave a voice drops. And the advantage I could see from a voice drop is this. For someone who loves art and loves museums, how cool would it be to have a personalized guided audio tour done, say, in Drop, where, let's say you, Mike, you love art, and you know I'm coming to the UK, so, you know, you decide to go through the Tate Modern and, you know, comment on some of your favorite pieces and what you're thinking and what you think I should see next and, you know, that sort of thing, and basically create a virtual tour for me so that when I come to the UK and visit the Tate Modern, boom, there's an audio tour that my friend has done for me. Someone who knows me and knows my tastes and, you know, knows what I might like and what I might dislike and, you know? I mean, I just see some really interesting implications and some possible, you know, enhancing a relationship or an experience that you have in that kind of proximity with somebody.
I think that a lot of these hyper reality type experiences will change with the with the inclusion of NFC, near field communications.
Yeah,
because GPS is not reliable enough, especially indoors. You know, you can have serious trouble being indoors. Yeah. So I think when you're looking at things like that, like sort of indoor tours and stuff, NFC could play a big part in that.
Yeah. Well, and here's just another angle on this. As I think of my friend Jane Quigley, just posted yesterday or last night or this morning. She's doing some talks on what she calls moment sharing apps like Instagram, or the one I use is Path, right? Mm-hmm. Where the idea is to, you know, share a moment with a very close group of friends, you know, maybe near, maybe far. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily put it in the same realm as a micro-social app, because, you know, it doesn't require that one be close by.
It's micro in size, the actual network size.
Yes, yeah. They do limit that to 50 people. They really want this to be something that you use with the people that you're closest to. And they actually derived that number 50 out of a larger number that's often referred to as Dunbar's number.
Hmm.
And what Dunbar's number is there was a researcher, I believe he's an anthropologist, a social anthropologist, Robin Dunbar, I don't remember.
Let's go with R. Dunbar.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to. I'll look it up, and it'll be in the show notes. But what he discovered examining various populations all over the world was that typically there was a very similar limit to the number of social relationships that any one person had. And that limit was 150.
Yeah.
And that generally, social relationships and societal relationships kind of cap out at or around that number.
It's kind of like your brain can't, but past that point, your brain has trouble keeping track of
right.
the relationships with more than that many people.
Correct, yes. And so it's one of those things that because of that research, and I mean, this was extensive research, and it's borne itself out, and it's pretty much accepted as a pretty sound theory. It certainly is one of those ideas I keep in the back of my mind when it comes to social networking, but that's for a whole nother show. Basically, the idea of it is Path took that number of 150, came up with setting 50 as a limit, because they're like, okay, if 150 includes both close friends and, kind of sort of close friends and acquaintances, then, we want to just take the very close friends. And so if you split that number into thirds, you get that 50 number. And I think, wow, that's really, I really like that. I like that idea because, these moments you want to share with those closest to you. And by making sure that it is your really close friends, you're more likely to share more intimate moments.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to feel the freedom of showing. Like, for instance, there are certain moments with my daughter, My 3-year-old taking a bath, splashing around in the bathtub. I'm not going to show that on Twitter, right? Because no. I don't want 3,000 people seeing my daughter naked, and who knows who could possibly see it, right?
Mm.
Whereas with Path, I know it's the dozen or so people who are my absolute closest friends, and that, I would invite over to my house and, to see my daughter splashing around in the bathtub and think nothing of it, right? And know that it's only being shared with those people and that it won't go outside of that. I think that that's really interesting. But, and once again, it's not about growing the number of your followers or the number of your friends or, having this big number and assigning some sort of value to that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's assigning value to, let me just put it this way. If I allow you to see my path, it's only because I trust you and consider you to be a friend, period.
Mm. I agree with that.
And because of that, I'm going to share things on Path that I wouldn't share publicly otherwise. But I think that there's a whole other element to this. And that is, and I've talked about this on a previous episode, and I'm sure Mike will find the number for me in short order. It was the episode where we discussed the idea of second selves and you know, the idea that we are creating this virtual persona online that has its own, you know, its actions and memories and such that, yes, we did, but it lives outside of us now because it lives online, right? Well, in the same way, these moments that we're capturing and these drops that we're leaving and these, you know, and another iPhone app called With that was recently released by the guys who did Path, that is completely like a beta thing that they hacked together. And it was like, they do these like 24-hour coding challenges where they, or some, basically like little company meetings where they get together and they just all code together and see what they come up with. And that's what this was. So it's not perfect and it's buggy. And
it is, and it's not. It is buggy. I mean, I'm a massive fan of Path, and I'd like to just plug something. By the way, Pat, it was episode 13, Cyborgs and Second Selves.
Thank you. You're a good man.
Thank you. I wrote a review on Path for MacGasm, which I'd like to point people, and I'll send Pat the link so you can put it in the show notes. It's one that I was quite proud of. So if you're new to Path, then check it out. I downloaded with because I'm a fan of what the guy's doing, and one, I didn't really understand what was going on, and two, it is quite buggy. So I will check back in with that application, I think.
Yeah, and I would argue people may want to hold off on it for now. But the basic idea of it is that you simply, you know, when you get together with people, make note of who you're with. Take a photo and say, hey, I'm with this person, that person, the other person, right? And it kind of just keeps track of who you're with. It
reminds me of Color.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
That died.
A
beautiful, expensive, colorful death.
But I think that the idea is interesting. Mm-hmm. And basically the idea is this, and that is if we could find a way to tie this stuff together, think of the wonderful journal that would create.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Memories that you might not actually be able to remember, but you will be able to recollect by looking at images of them.
Yeah. You know, I think a big missing hole in all of this stuff, and for someone to come along, find a service or find a way that, you know, ties into APIs of all of this stuff and basically builds a digital journal for you so that, you know, all of your tweets and you know, conversations and stuff compiled with all of your Facebook statuses, being compiled with all of your, you know, the moments that you're sharing on Path or with or whatever, you know, and all of this stuff kind of streaming into one thing that doesn't have to be public. You know, it can be this private locked journal that you control. That, you know, basically it creates a journal for you as you go along so that you don't have to. As someone who's always been interested in the idea of journaling and writing down your experiences and writing down your history for future generations and things like that, I find the possibilities of that fascinating. And, you know, I think, gosh, whoever invents that has my undying love and devotion because I would love, love, love that.
Yeah, that's a $10 million idea, because that's going to take a lot of work. But
yeah, I agree.
I'd like to see something like that. Just, it doesn't even need to be an app, a service that you interact with, really, just like a locker. Because I know there are services that do things like this. I'd point you to, Pat, to something called Backupify. Which pulls in data from Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, LinkedIn, just backs everything up. Can do it to Gmail too if you pay. It's free for up to, I think, 2 gigabytes. So it will pull in everything from there, and it does like calendars and stuff. So it'll pull in, so you'll be able to relate different dates and stuff.
So you could say on this, I want to see everything from this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a service. And if anybody knows of any other services, because I'm sure that someone has tried to do something like this, please send it our way.
Yeah. And bonus points if also it allows you to put in your own entries directly.
Mm.
Does it do that?
Say again, sorry.
Does it allow you to put in your own entries directly? So let's say...
I can't remember. I haven't used it in a long time. I think it may just back up. I mean, and there are iOS apps, like as an app called Memento, which I believe pulls in some and will allow you to make diary entries.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll pull in your like your Twitter stream, and I believe some sort of photo stream too.
And it will
then allow you to add your own sort of journal to it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to let us go without in this conversation without mentioning my own favorite online journal, as it were. And that's Olife, O-H-L-I-F-E, olife.com. And what I like about Olife is it sends you at a pre-described time every day, pre-prescribed time every day, an email. And that email, the subject line just asks, how did your day go? And you simply reply to that email with how your day went, and that becomes an entry in the journal.
Huh.
And what's really interesting, at least to me, I don't know, I find it interesting and often enlightening, is that it will pick a random previous email for the body of that email. So that, you know, it'll send you the email and say in the body, you know, by the way, on this date at this time, this is what you wrote. And it's always random. So it's like, it could be 2 weeks ago, it could be 2 months ago, it could be 2 years ago, but you get this thing, you go, oh, okay, that's interesting. So not only do you get to say what was happening today and reply with that, but you also get a glimpse of something that happened that you probably completely forgot about, right? I don't know. I find it interesting.
No, that sounds pretty cool, actually. I like that.
Yeah.
I've seen you mention it before.
Yeah.
I might have to check it out. By the way, that app Memento that I was saying, it's an iPhone app. It supports Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Instagram, Gowalla, Foursquare, YouTube, Vimeo, Dig, Last.fm, and RSS feeds if you want. So it will pull all of that in automatically, and then you can add your own. It will have a date, all of the things from them services on that date, and then anything you want to add yourself.
Interesting.
And you can
is it only them. iPhone, or do they have an iPad one as well?
They only
iPad
have version. iPhone at the moment. Although I believe there is another app that does the same sort of thing.
Okay, on iPad. Oh, interesting. I'll definitely check that out,
yeah.
Because I think that's, you know, that's a stellar idea for someone who's interested in that. So, but you know, I guess the bottom line of this, and to wrap this all up, is that I'm starting to see this kind of trend, and I find this trend interesting. And I, as someone who bemoans the loss of the sort of real world connections that, you know, it seems like Twitter and Facebook have kind of replaced in some sense. Or at the very least, don't do a very good job of encouraging or promoting. I find seeing technology begin to come full circle, specifically promoting those kinds of relationships and those kinds of interactions. I just find it interesting. I find the micro-social movement, as I've dubbed it, interesting.
I agree.
So, but you know, I think that's about all I have to say on it for now. This has ended up being another longer one, longer than we expected. So, yeah, let's just end it there, and I guess we'll talk later, Mike.
We will. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, as always. Always a pleasure in getting into these discussions with you. All right. Take care.
Cheers.
Cheers.